Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Believe it or not, it's already Thursday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays. So if you haven't popped over there since yesterday, swing on by, check out the blog that went up then, and we can just kind of roll along from there. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man. Three.
So, all right, Dan, apparently we have a little more information on Colin Kaepernick's tryout, which is scheduled to be in Atlanta on Saturday. They've come out with former NFL coach Hugh Jackson will run it, while another former coach, Joe Philbin, will be in attendance to assist the league announced. Right now they have 11 teams confirmed as attending. It's the Arizona Cardinals, the Atlanta Falcons, the Cleveland Browns, the Denver Broncos, the Detroit Lions, the Miami Dolphins, the New England Patriots, the New York Giants, the New York Jets, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Washington football team that you and I like to call the Redskins. You know, little. I guess the first thing that just popped into my head real quick before I keep going, a little surprised the Bears aren't there going with their quarterback situation.
They already have their guy in Chase Daniels.
Yes. So, you know, and what I'm realizing now, Dan, that I just kind of, I don't even know how to really describe it is, I'm not quite sure if Kaepernick is, I don't know if I want to say problem or issue here, but it seems to be the media and the people around him. You know, like Eric Reed came out, he was the guy who started kneeling with Kaepernick, and it took him a little while to get back in the league. He's now with the Carolina Panthers. He mentioned that he said it feels that it's a PR stunt, which I believe in some ways it is, but, you know, he called it disingenuous and, you know, just really kind of railed against it. And what I don't understand from his point of view is if it's going to help your friend, because he's Kaepernick's friend, get back in the NFL, why doesn't he just shut the hell up?
Well, I mean, I think he needs to further explain his PR stuff. Comment, because I honestly don't really understand it.
Yeah, well, you know, I kind of understand, you know, the quote, you know, it's something the NFL is doing to try to, you know, I guess try to make themselves look a little better in this entire situation. But, like, to me, it's weird because it's been 3 years and it's pretty much gone. You know, it doesn't come up that often, so I wonder why they're doing it now.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. Maybe they feel a lot of that national anthem drama has died down.
So yeah, and you know, I mean, it pretty much has, I believe. I don't think you know, like we mentioned yesterday, I haven't seen anybody kneel, you know, or I haven't seen them showing anybody kneeling. So you know, maybe that's, you know, something they've went away from, or you know, whatever they're deciding to do, but it definitely doesn't seem like too much of an issue anymore. It kind of blew, you know, I thought it kind of blew over, and I guess this almost kind of brings it back to, you know, to attention, but we'll see how it goes, and, you know, he'll get a shot. And then, like, with the media, what I find hilarious is, you know, like, I heard people talking about this, like, they ruined a Hall of Fame career by doing this to him. And, you know, again, like you've always managed to point out, this didn't start until he lost the starting quarterback job. So I don't think he was paving a path to – wait, where's the NFL Hall of Fame at? I almost said
Ohio?
Cooperstown. So, yeah, I'm drawing a blank. I know they play the game. They play a game there every year, and I don't remember where it's located at. So that's Canton. They play in Canton. That's it. I had to bring it real quick. So, I don't think he was paving a career path to Canton. You know, I mean, I know he had played in the Super Bowl, but his numbers weren't fantastic. So I don't know, you know, but I mean, if you would have listened to some of the media people I heard talk this morning, you'd have thought this guy was a surefire first ballot unanimous Hall of Famer.
Well, and you know, it's different when you're talking NFL because it's a lot harder to get in the Hall of Fame than it is, you know, some of the other leagues. So I don't know what was the guarantee that he was going to go in.
It was just the way they were acting. You know, and eventually, luckily, later on in the day, I finally saw some more people making some sense, mentioning that he's a backup quarterback. So, they finally came to their senses. It just took them the majority of the day to get there. Of course, this was a different network than I originally started on. That's been part of the problem with this whole thing. You know, if the media wouldn't have blown this up like they did, he would have never been out of the league. But there's no team in the NFL that wants to deal with this kind of BS over a backup quarterback. So.
No, and I mean, and this is only because it's close to home, and, you know, I'm not that big of a football guy to begin with. My knowledge isn't totally there, but if you're going to start making the claim and pushing that he was on a Hall of Fame career, then what about Jay Cutler?
Yeah.
I mean, he played a lot longer. He holds every Bears record, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, like they were – you know, they were talking about how, you know, and again, this was this morning, how he would go down in history as, you know, a guy who gave up his NFL career to do this, you know, and he would, you know, forever be in the annals of, you know, football. And all I kept thinking about is, in the past 3 years, how much have I heard of him?
Nothing.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, you hear about him when a starting quarterback goes down. You know, hey, maybe we should bring in Colin Kaepernick. You know, hey, what about Kaepernick? But it never goes any farther than that. And it's just kind of like, oh, okay.
Well, and not only that, like you said, if he gave up his career to fight whatever cause he's fighting, aside from his Man of the Year award from, was it the ESPN show, Net Awards, and his cover of Time, and his thing with Nike? What has he done?
Yeah. So, I know he's been out there, doing charity work. I don't know what. but he's been out there doing charity work. So that's always a good thing. But yeah, I mean, it was just so weird because they had him out there like he was Roberto Clemente or somebody like that. And I was just kind of like, easy, let's the break here. I mean, I get that he stood up for what he believed in and it basically cost him his career. But there's a lot of, two sides to this.
Well, when it comes to fighting causes and whatever, wouldn't you say that little 14-year-old girl, Greta Van Whatever, has more popularity and clout into that arena than he would?
At this point, oh yeah. Oh, sure, clearly. So, there's nothing against what he was, what he was did. And I'll say it a million times. I don't agree with what he did, but I totally support his right to do it. So, but yeah, it's just, for me, it's kind of been over. It's been over for years now. And, I'm still more of the belief that if he really wanted to play, there were opportunities to play. He could have went to Canada and stayed sharp. If he was really that much better than all those guys, he would have looked like a superstar. And, when you're good, you damn well know the NFL is going to find a place for you. I mean, there are still teams that talk to Antonio Brown after all this BS that he's been through. Why? Because he's got talent. So, if he was good enough, somebody would find a spot for him, wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's just kind of my hang up is the fact that he's been kind of like, I'm going to play in the NFL or I'm not going to play. Well, that's your choice. You made that decision. I did. But we'll see. We get the tryout on Saturday, and to me it makes no sense at all for a team to sign him right now. You're better off waiting until the off season, barring injury. So.
Yeah, but even with that, if you brought him in now, or in 2 weeks, how great is he going to be to begin with?
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. I mean, you bring him in at the start of camp if you want him. Let him work through camp, get his reps in. I think the only reason you could bring him in now is you could probably blow off the media. They would be blown out by the time next year came around. Because all they're going to ask is, well, do you think he's going to kneel down? Oh, are you going to kneel down for the anthem? And then they're going to ask every player on the team, what are you going to do if Kaepernick kneels down? So,
what I find humorous in the whole situation, though, was the guy from Seattle who went to Oakland, the running back, always sat for the national anthem, but no one ever said anything about it.
Yeah.
Beast mode,
but
whatever
yeah,
his name is.
Marshawn Lynn.
Yeah, you remember. I mean, he was sitting and nothing ever came about that. But then Kaepernick, who was the NFL's golden boy for a couple, from what, 2012 until... he was benched for who's that kid's name?
Blaine Gabbert.
He was benched for Blaine Gabbert.
He was benched
Man,
for
you know
Blaine Gabbert.
Bad. Wow, you know you're playing bad.
And again, to be fair, the team was 1-10.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously they needed to do something.
Yeah, and then coincidentally, that's when he starts kneeling to fight oppression.
Right. You know, yeah, that's when it became an issue. So after I lost my starting job.
So. Despite the fact that he was raised by white parents.
Yeah, I thought they were mixed race.
Well, he was adopted or something. Either way, I mean, he was handed everything. He was given everything. He was like the golden boy growing up. And, you know, I'm not going to take away from him because he was talented. He got the good grades. I mean, he was even scouted by the Cubs and was one of their draft picks. You know, so I think it was just a really huge letdown for him when he was that, because I don't think that ever happened to him before.
No, probably not. So.
Yeah. But anyways, moving on to baseball, what awards do we have going on today?
Well, we do have the MVP, but I want to start with some other news we had. There were 8 players who rejected the qualifying offer. No surprise by any of these names. Madison Bumgarner, Garrett Cole, Josh Donaldson, Marcelo Zuna, Anthony Rendon, Steven Strasburg, Zach Wheeler, and Will Smith. Will Smith may have been a little bit of a surprise, but he rejected the qualifying offer and then turned around and signed a 3-year, $40 million deal with the Atlanta Braves.
Huh.
So they wrapped that up. There were 2 players who accepted. Jake Odorizzi of the Twins accepted, and so did Jose Abreu of the White Sox. So they took the $17.2 million for next year.
Hey, we got 2 right.
Yes. So, and I was a little surprised. I really thought Smith was going to take the offer. I think that's what they had been doing. But I guess when you got multiple years out there, you know, you pass it up to take that, right?
Well, you know, that's what I was, and I know you probably may not know this, but you know, during that period, teams allowed to you?
You know, I don't know. I was wondering that myself. So. You know, because, yeah, I wasn't sure if they could, you know, I mean, obviously they negotiated while this was going on. Because there's no way he turns down the qualifying offer and then walks right into a – you know, walks right into a deal like that. So there definitely was something going on.
Yeah, now we didn't have any of these last year, so it's pretty interesting to see the first turnaround, the first signing of the offseason. So I think this means the Braves are trying to secure that division for themselves again and maybe make it into the World Series.
Yeah, and, you know, that was their biggest weakness coming in, was the back end of the bullpen. You know, I mean, like, they went out and acquired a couple guys last year, you know, Shane Green and Mark Melanson. Well, Smith was, I think he was 34th eight last year in saves. So he did a quality job at the end of the Giants bullpen. So, you know, it'll be, you know, I mean, it's interesting that it's right away like that, you know, bang, here you go. I mean, it's November and, you know, we're already locking down a guy, but, you know, if you like the deal and you know that's where you want to go, that's, you know, that's what you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, of those guys, though, who do you think who have you kind of have highlighted as who you're maybe watching a little bit more than the other ones?
Well, you know, the one that's piqued my interest now, just because of the way they're talking about him, is Zach Wheeler, because it looks like somebody is really going to overpay for him. And I got a feeling that whoever ends up with him is going to get burned. You know, because we're talking about a pitcher who basically missed 2 years with Tommy John. So I just don't – you know, I mean, it's a big risk, but, you know, it looks like he's in the right place at the right time. And, you know, it's going to – you know, obviously Strasburg is going to get big money and Garrett Cole is going to get big money. And then there's that next year where Bumgarner falls in and Wheeler is right there behind him. You know, and then it's probably Dallas Keuchel after them. So he's probably the third in some cases or even the fourth most wanted pitcher. And that's going to equal big years and big money, again, for a guy who's had big injuries. So I just don't know. But, you know, I keep hearing – you know, the Phillies are going to be willing to, you know, jump out at him, and all these teams we heard before that are looking for pitching, you know, appear to be ready to pay whatever price it is to go after Zach Wheeler. You know, and I mean, I know, you know, he's had back-to-back 2 full years. You know, he made 31 starts last year and 29 the year before. So, you know, I guess you got to say he's back, but he missed, you know, 2015 and 2016 recovering from Tommy John. And I just don't know, you know, that's just too big of a risk for me to, you know, hand out upwards of 20, you know, probably $20+ million, you know, and he's 29. So he's probably going to want 5 or 6 years. I just can't see myself going, you know, $6 at $1.50 for Zach Wheeler.
Well, don't you feel like he's still kind of unproven?
Yeah, you know, in a sense, because, I mean, you know, I mean, I guess he had a solid year last year, 11-8 with a 3.96 ERA. That's a little high for the National League, but again, he was dealing with a juice ball like all the other pitchers were. You know, in 2018, he was 12-7 with a 3.31 ERA. So, you know, it almost seems like, even though he does have 126 career starts, I haven't seen enough of him. And I think it's just because of that 2-year gap, but. You know, maybe I'm wrong, and he'll be fine for 5 or 6 years with whoever ponies it up. But I just couldn't do it if I was running a team. You know, if that makes sense to you at all.
Yes, it does.
Well, no. You know, and then you're all in on Bumgarner to see where he ends up.
Oh yeah, I mean, I don't think you had to. You didn't even think about that, did you?
No, I did hear today. You know, there's all the talk that the Padres are going to try to lure Steven Strasburg, but they did come out today and say that they're targeting Bumgarner. So it'll be interesting to see if they can get, you know, anything done in that situation. And then, of course, humorously, everybody I had saw on the good old television network had him going to Atlanta because he's from North Carolina. And apparently, anytime a guy becomes a free agent, he automatically signs with the team closest to where he grew up. So, you know, I don't know when this started happening, but you know, everybody's got him going to the Braves because he's from North Carolina and it's close to home. And, you know, that's why Strasburg is going to San Diego and Garrett Cole is going to play with the Angels, you know, because everybody wants to go home. So I guess California is going to be overloaded with players because I believe a lot of players come from there. And of course, if we don't get some teams in Mexico and some of the other countries south of there, I don't know where those guys are going to sign, Dan. So we'll have to see how that goes.
Well, don't they all go to San Diego or Houston?
Yeah. Well, you know, like I know Hinjin Ryu's a free agent. Does that mean he's going back? I believe is he Korea? Was he did he come for the Korean League or, you know, the Japanese
yeah.
league? Does that mean he signed there? Because that would be going home. So
well,
I'm just.
Closer.
Yeah, I'm just really kind of tired of listening to these guys.
He would stay on the West Coast, so he'd go to Seattle.
Right, Seattle is what, But yeah, I just, you know, like I said, I'm just really sick of listening to these guys go, well, you know, he grew up here and he played his college ball here, so he's going to sign here just so he can be closer to home. You know, do you ever think maybe there's guys who don't like where they grew up? You know, I mean, did everybody have a wonderful, happy childhood and they'd love to go home again?
You're a multi-millionaire and you can live wherever you want, but you're going to go back to
right.
Podunk, Carolina, where there's a girl that has the same name as you.
Yeah. So, you know, and, you know, in a lot of these cases, you know, like I believe you mentioned earlier in the week, you know, if these guys are married, you know, or they have children, you know, and they have children, their wives are going to have a whole lot to say on where they end up going.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just, that always just kind of baffles me when I'm like, wait, what do you mean why is he going there? Because he grew up there? I don't think that's the best logical solution, you know, I mean, otherwise, let's just go down the list of where these guys grew up, and we'll figure out who's signing where, and we won't even need an off season. I mean, you know, I guess I did wonder, well, no, Manny Machado wasn't from San Diego, was he? And I thought Bryce Harper was from Las Vegas, not Philadelphia. But, you know, again, what do I know? Maybe they grew up there and I just missed it.
Yeah, well, I mean, why didn't the Angels trade Trout to Philly?
Yeah, well, yeah, and, you know, Mike Trout did sign that long extension with the Angels. You know, instead of kind of playing out his arbitration and going to Philadelphia, where a lot of people did have him going. So, oh, but all right. Well, you mentioned awards earlier, Dan, and we did have it's MVP voting time today. And, looks like just the National League results are – oh, no, the American League just came out, but we'll start with the National League. A little bit surprised here, I have to tell you, Dan. Cody Bellinger of the Dodgers gets the win. He gets 19 out of 30 first-place votes, 10 second, and 1/5. He edged out Christian Yelich, who got 10 first-place votes, 18 second, 1/3, and 1/4. Again, what I'm disappointed here on Dan is obviously everybody just overlooked Anthony Rendon. He got a first, a second, 24-3rd, 3/4, and 1/5 place vote. So he was just kind of an afterthought, and it was just those two guys. So that's where we are. Cody Bellinger is National League MVP. You buying it? You in on it? You like it? You hate it?
Yeah, I like it. I still think Rendon should have been bigger, closer in the running, especially with Yelich's injury.
Yeah. And then just to round out the top 10 real quick, Ketel Marte was 4th. Ronald Acuna Jr. was 5th. Nolan Arenado was 6th. Pete Alonso finished 7th. Freddie Freeman finished 8th. And actually got a second-place vote. Juan Soto finished 9th, and Jacob deGrom took the 10th spot. So there's your top 10. Do vote for 10, you know, along the way. So there's your top 10. Bellinger's the winner. I'm still shocked by the fact that Rendon finished such a distant 3rd. Basically, he just got all the third-place votes. So, you know, some of the more interesting names, somebody actually put Kevin Pillar on their ballot as so he got an MVP vote. Two 10th place MVPs. So, but yeah, you know, while we're on Clueless voting, Dan, let's jump into the American League. And as my computer catches up here, I can tell you that Mike Trout has won his third MVP. So, humorously, I heard this morning, I was watching the MLB Network, and they pointed out that as good of a year as Alex Bregman had, and I'd never heard this one before, Dan, but I was really kind of intrigued by this. And if there's a reason why you're not allowed to punch people through your television. But, yeah, as good of a year as Alex Bregman had, it should be noted that he hits in a quality lineup and he's surrounded by talented players. And that apparently Dan should have taken away from the year he had. I'm going to need you to explain that to me, please.
I'm still thinking. You know, it's interesting. It's interesting, though, because if you were to pluck Alex Bregman out of this era and plug him into the 2012-2013 Astros team and performed at the level he performed at, he would lose to Mike Trout because of the bad team he's on.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They would say, well, even as well as he played, I mean, the team didn't do anything.
Yeah.
You know, he was unable to elevate his team. So why did we vote for him?
Yeah, and that's what they used to go with in the past. So.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like they're turning the awards into what our country wishes the president should be voted on, and that is a popularity vote. It's, you know, their award system is becoming almost kind of a joke.
So, yeah, here's how it shook out. Trout got 17 first-place votes and 13 second. Bregman got the flip-flop. He got 13 first and 17 second. Marcus Semien dominated for third place, 22 third place votes, 6th, 4th, and 2-6th place. The rest of the top 10 rolls out. DJ LeMay, who finishes 4th. Your guy Xander Bogaerts comes home 6th. Max Chapman 6th. George Springer 7th. Mookie Betts 8th. Nelson Cruz 9th. And Garrett Cole lands in the 10th spot. Dan, I want to tell you that there was actually one intelligent voter, and I'm going to find out who he is here, who was paying attention. Anthony Fench, or Fench, F-E-N-E-C-H, of the Detroit Free Press, was the only one who voted for Jorge Soler. He had him 10th on his ballot. All right, in an age of power, Soler led the American League in home runs and, I believe, RBIs. And only one guy was smart enough to put him on his ballot. So that'll show you how the voting, you know, went. So
you're not supposed to vote on your own.
Yeah, you know, just clearly a bunch of uninformed sheep are the guys who fill out these ballots. And my guess is they're probably not watching the games or looking at stats. Just completely clueless that Soler made one ballot. And I get it, his team sucked. You know, so you're going to hold that against him because the only player we don't hold that against is Mike Trout. But again, you know, you're looking at the year he had. you can't tell me there were 10 better years than his. You know, I mean, like, I'm looking at some of these other 10th place votes. Yoan Moncada got a 10th place vote. So did J.D. Martinez. You know, really? Okay, great. So.
Well, and I think your point is pretty valid, though, when you compare the two players, him and Trout. And I'm not going to put Soler up at the top, but at the same point, like you said, Soler's on a crappy team, be it the Royals.
Well,
but how much better off were the Angels than the Royals?
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, you know, and all it boils down to is neither team got close to making the playoffs. It doesn't matter that the Angels a little, you know, what were they, 20 wins better or something? Won't be. They didn't make the playoffs. The Astros are getting the playoffs and win the World Series. But, you know, again, like I said, I didn't expect Soler to win the award. You know, no way, shape, or form. He didn't deserve it. But you can't tell me there were 10 better seasons than what he had. You know, especially in today's offensive game. So, you know, it just, again, it boils down to the cluelessness of these guys casting ballots and, you know, what they actually look for. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they're pulling names out of hats at, you know, some point in time. But, you know, just frustrating when I read some of this and, you know, the fact that they gave it to Trout, and I'm sure they're already shining up the 2020 trophy for him. it's just kind of ridiculous.
Well, you know there's
we'll
another
know a month or whatever to the season that he's going to win the award next year, right?
Oh yeah. Well, you know, and there's another sound clip. I've got to start writing these down for the ones I need. You know, I need to go get LeBron. What defines the MVP?
Yeah. You know, and, you know, that's what's really funny is I would love to know what they thought made him most valuable. You know,
well,
like, I could buy Bellinger. Right, you know, I mean, I could buy Bellinger. I can understand why he's most valuable, you know, even though he really did struggle the second half of the season. But
yeah.
Besides Trout being the best player, that makes him the most valuable. You know, it's not the best player award. We know that. So what made him more valuable than Bregman? Oh, that's right. Bregman had quality hitters around him. So it's Alex Bregman's fault that Houston put together a good team and won.
Yeah.
But Mike Trout gets rewarded because the Angels are clueless and can't build a lineup around him. Makes perfect sense to me, Dan. So, you know, we got it set. We got it figured out. Now we know.
Yeah, well, and again, there's 32 teams. Each team has 25-man roster. You cannot put the game on the shoulders of one man. It's ridiculous.
So,
one man doesn't win a series. And obviously, in the time that he's been with the Angels, it's proven.
Yeah. So, yeah, just a little bit of frustration there when it comes to the voting for me, pretty much like every year.
Yeah.
You know, rarely do they get these right. And when they get them right, they're criticized because, as we know, Mike Trout should win every year, even when a guy wins the Triple Crown. So.
Yeah. Do you feel like David Letterman throwing pencils in the ceiling?
Yes. Yes, you should see my ceiling, actually. But. So. Yeah, just kind of a lot of frustration there when it you know, when it comes to that. You know, and you know, the sad part is, and it gets me every year, I like Mike Trout. I think he's a great player.
Yeah.
But they just don't, you know, they just don't make sense with what they do because, you know, I mean, you know, if the Astros hadn't been a playoff team, Alex Bregman's probably isn't even a top three candidate for MVP.
No, well, you know what the problem
was.
No, well, you know what the other problem was?
No.
He didn't steal enough bases.
Yeah, actually, he did.
So, oh, he
I
did?
Think I saw he had double. Yeah, I thought I saw he had double digits last year. So.
Oh, I thought it was Trout that had the bases stolen, and Bregman only had like five, but. Could be wrong.
It might have been. Trout was 11 and Bregman with 5 or something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know. And see, like, the funny thing is, like, they can't use the Trout's a better defender thing like they tried to do with Miggy because Bregman's a quality defender. And not only is a quality defender, but he also played shortstop this year to help the Astros out during injuries. So, you know, they can't try to sell you on that BS. You know, and the same thing with Trout and Miggy was Trout was the better base runner, and you can't pull that with Bregman because he's a good base runner as well. What they meant was Trout stole more bases than Miggy because obviously Cabrera isn't going anywhere on the base path. So,
well, and you know, are all the votes actually done by the Hawk? Because if you remember, a few years back, Todd Frazier was the best third baseman in Chicago. Well, why is that,
yes.
Hawk? Well, because Chris Bryant plays first, right, left, second, short. He manages some days of the week, you know. So Todd Frazier is the best third baseman in Chicago. But I'll be back in a couple minutes.
Yeah. So yeah, that's just my frustration with that. So we'll move on with a little more baseball talk. I found an article here by, and we're going to go up here. Let me see. Will Leach, who this is on MLB.com. And I was surprised because I immediately saw it was the ranking the top contenders to land Gerrit Cole. And I really just immediately thought I wasn't going to pay any attention because he was going to have the Angels number one. And I was going to have to deal with all the BS about how he – well, you know he's going to want to go play back home and all this other crap that I'm just tired of hearing because I don't think it matters as much as the media is putting into this. But I was surprised to come up with that he actually doesn't have the Angels first or second. And when you think about this, it's no surprise who he has one and two here. We start with the Dodgers. Now, again, this would make sense. It's funny because they kept saying – you know, maybe Gerrit Cole would want to go back and play, you know, near his home. If you do, why would you take the non-contending Angels over the World Series contending Dodgers? So, you know, that just didn't make any sense. You know, now they've got Hyunjin Ryu as a free agent. You know, Rich Hill is a free agent. So it looks like they have some slots in that rotation behind Walker Buehler and Clayton Kershaw. That'll also free up a little bit of money for them to bring in a guy like Cole, who's probably going to run you about $30 million, you know, a season. So, you know, this makes really good sense. And again, I was surprised that somebody else realized that the Dodgers were a California team and he might consider going there. Then we get on to number two, and again, there's absolutely no surprise here because every free agent is going to this team. That, of course, is the New York Yankees. You know, I mean, the Yankees have the lore of, well, basically being the Yankees. You know, they're definitely a contender again. You know, even with the massive amount of injuries they had, they still managed to win the AL East. There's no reason they shouldn't contend again as their guys get healthy. You know, you add Gerrit Cole to that rotation that, you know, gets a healthy Luis Severino back. you know, Domingo Germán had a career year. You got to wonder if he could do that again. You got J.A. Hop in the mix there. You never know where or how the Yankees are going to go. And then, of course, there's the quality bullpen behind it with Chapman and Zach Britton to, you know, help close things out. So, you could see, hey, you know, maybe, you know, again, and this could be if Gerrit Cole wants to win, you know, those would be two really good choices. Now, here's where the Angels come in. They come in at number three. And again, you know, it's basically, it's just the Southern California thing is really the only reason here. And even here, you know, they like Cole's from Southern California, but more granularly, he's from Orange County, and the Angels actually play in Orange County. Is that enough to get him to sign? You know, the Angels owner, Artie Marino, has come out and said that the payroll is going up next year. But does that mean they're going to give it to Gerrit Cole? And even bringing Gerrit Cole in, we've been over the Angels roster. Just because you had Gerrit Cole doesn't mean this team is going to win. He may make 33 starts and go, 20-7. And this team may not even be .500. You know, there's just not a lot there to work with, you know, unless maybe Shohei Ohtani is the ace that everybody is under the impression he's going to be. Because then you would have a 1-2 punch with an Andrew Heaney hanging around as the third guy, if and when he's healthy. So I don't know. I think a lot of the signing here depends on if winning is important to Cole at this point. So, and then they drop in number four here. They drop the Phillies in. This is interesting because, as you know, last year the Phillies were in on every big-time free agent and only came away with Bryce Harper. So you got to wonder, you know, remember the rumors were, well, you know, Philadelphia has stupid money to spend, you know, and they're going to go get Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. They did manage the Harper signing, and that was it. You know, they were a non-playoff team in what turned out to be a really tough division. If they could add Zach Cole to that rotation, that has the Aaron Nola, Jake Arrieta up top combo, now you're talking a little bit there. So, it's interesting, but I don't know if I'm buying the Phillies here. And then number five is what they call it, the wild card team in this race. And that's the Texas Rangers. Now, if you've paid any attention to how free agency is going so far, the Rangers apparently are going to attempt to sign everybody. You know, like last year, it was the Phillies who were going to sign everybody. This year, it's the Rangers. You know, I've seen them, you know, they want to be in on Josh Donaldson. They want to talk to Strasburg. Now it's Gerrit Cole. I've seen Bumgarner's name linked to them. You know, it's just whoever, if it's not Donaldson, it's Anthony Rendon because they're looking for a third baseman. So it's just one of those things where it's possible we may see the Rangers in on kind of everybody type of deal there. And we'll see if it goes that way or not. But those are the top five. He does have some extra ones here. This would be what, 6 through 10. He lists the Astros, Braves, Cardinals, Mets, Padres, and White Sox as some of the other teams that might be considered. But I don't see any of these teams ponying up the kind of money that Cole is going to ask for. So I'm sure the Astros would love to, but with the Verlander and Greinke contracts, it's probably not going to happen there. So, but yeah, those are probably, five pretty good landing spots. And again, I just wanted to give the guy credit because he didn't suck up and immediately put the Angels at the top because they're the Orange County team where Cole grew up. So we'll see how it goes. Right, Dan?
Yep. Well, the whole league is going to be readjusted as all players go home. It's going to be the new initiative for next year.
You know, we'll just move all the teams to California and Florida and stuff and, you know, leave pretty much all the other states out and see how that works out.
Then you'll have to create a New Orleans team for all the kids from LSU.
Right. So, but yeah, I don't, you know, we'll see. But like I said, I once I saw that, you know, this guy didn't exactly kowtow and put the Angels on top with the big, you know, with basically the only reason for Gerrit Cole to go to the Angels is the fact that he's from there. There's absolutely no other reason for Gerrit Cole to sign with the Angels.
Well, and I mean, you know, it's another thing where I think the profession that is sports writing is going to continue to fall by the wayside. Because, I mean, I think more people are, you know, out listening to podcasts and watching blogs and whatnot. So you got to come up with something to write. But, I mean, you said this a million times, especially last year with Machado. Can't you just take Gerrit Cole's name, create an article, and list all the teams and write why you should go there?
Yeah, and, you know, there's a lot of guys you could do this with so far this year. I mean, you know, you could do that with Strasburg. You could probably do it with Anthony Rendon. So, you know, it's just one of those type of, you know, situations. You know, and then, you know, like the obvious reasons, I mean, you know, the teams like, you know, the Orioles and the Royals and the Blue Jays and stuff, you immediately eliminate those teams because they're not ponying up that kind of money for that, you know, that kind of guy. But, yeah, other than that, I mean, you got to figure any contender or anything that team that thinks they're a contender would want to be in on it, right?
Yeah.
You know, we'll see. And then, yeah, we, you know, I know we're getting close to the end here, but did you see, Dan, that they have stretched out the realm of their investigation on the Astros?
No, I didn't think this was really going to go any further.
Yeah, apparently they are planning to talk to Alex Cora and Carlos Beltran because from the reports I heard earlier, apparently these were the two guys who came up with the signaling system, the trash can and the whistling. So we'll see where that goes. And it does say here that Astros bullpen coach Craig Bjornsson has already been interviewed by Major League Baseball. So I don't know what's going to become of that. But I don't, you know, at this point, what can they do? I mean, we're talking 2017. Do you suspend Cora and Beltran now? I mean, they're with different teams.
Yeah, well, not only that, you bring them in. Do you have an authority to give them a polygraph?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Well, but, I mean, even if say one of them walks in and said, oh, yeah, we did it, here's exactly how we did it, blah, 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 lays it all out for them, they're no longer with the Astros. Why are you punishing the Mets and the Red Sox?
Yeah. Well, unless
so,
they're
you
just
know,
looking
it,
for
it,
validation.
So, yeah, it doesn't make a ton of sense. I get that you want to penalize somebody, but I think in this case you got to go after the team, don't you?
Yeah, and what are the odds that Major League Baseball goes down to Houston and confiscates that trophy.
Yo, zero. You know that's not happening. You know, there's just, you know, there, you know, what good, what do? You give it to the Dodgers?
Here, you guys could have won if they didn't cheat, so.
Right. You know, yeah, here, since they cheated, here's the trophy you didn't win. Okay, great, thanks. You know, what do we, well, you know, what do you do with it? You know, I mean, I still think the best thing is draft picks.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to really be, you know, if you really want to get to a team, you know, maybe, you know, maybe we take away a couple draft picks that matter. So, but that's just me. I kind of got the feeling that this is going to be the story that doesn't go away, right?
Oh, yeah. It's not going anywhere.
You know, and now do you have a solution here? I mean, are you on board with fines and draft picks for the team, or you want to see Beltran and Cora punished if they were the guys who came up with it, or whoever came up with it? Where are you at here?
I think it's the team that needs to be punished. You know, like you said, the draft picks.
Yeah, that, you know, that was the only thing I could I could come up with after that, you know, was that. So, but yeah, I guess the big thing is, without somebody admitting it, how do you prove it?
You really can't.
So. You know, that's the one thing I was just, you know, trying to sit here and figure it out, you know, while you're going over it. I mean, do you think you could go through game tape? Do you think you could possibly hear it if they were banging like that?
Yeah, I think you could. I mean, Major League Baseball is going to have access to all the cameras and all the sound.
Yeah. You know, because other than that, I mean, I don't know if I could think of anything else, you know, kind of off the top of my head, except for somebody having to literally sit down and go through every game.
Well, no, you wouldn't have to go through every game. You would just have to go through one. Well,
yeah, well, you'd have to go through the games.
Yeah. I mean, but where
so,
do you start?
Yeah.
Is it with, you know, the World Series, or do you go backwards?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it would be the best to go backwards, wouldn't it? Since they allegedly did it in the World Series.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like, it's such a hard thing to prove, and you know, but if they can't, I mean, you've got one guy, and obviously he's no longer with them. So does it have anything to do with the fact that he's bitter, that he's not there anymore, and they went to another World Series? Or
that is possible. So, you know, and the music should actually be playing now, as Dan and I are going to be leaving here. So I'm going to go into the wrap-up without the music. As you know, Dan goes away now. We're actually not going to talk to Dan until Tuesday because we won't be here Monday. I have jury duty, lucky me. But you know the deal while we're gone, sportstimeradio.com. Head on over there, check out what's going on. Look at the new blog that popped up yesterday. While you're there, hit the link and follow it over to the Facebook page. And like I always say, you went all the way over there, go ahead and give it a like. Don't forget we also have the Twitter feed, which is @SportsTimeRadio. feel free to look at it on Twitter as well. We have no issue with that. And hey, if you stop by and listen to us live, thanks for doing that. But remember, you can get the podcast anytime you want over at tunein.com. Say goodbye, Dan.
SportsTimeRadio.com.